My name is Matt Shedd, host of The Mar Experience, Stories of Recovery. We've put together some excerpts from previous episodes of our show relating to step three and the idea of surrendering to something bigger than oneself.
At some point, a person in early recovery has to make their own choice about recovery. It doesn't work to make them do treatment and recovery. What works is a moment in that community at night when they decide or choose to try recovery. And that happens with each other in that community experience. I'm going to give this a chance. I don't believe it's going to work. I don't have a whole lot of hope that I can really change, but I'm going to try it. And that becomes a choice. It becomes their choice, not our choice to force it on them or make them do it. Because they're good at being compliant, being told what to do. What they're not good at is having that moment of surrender where, okay, I'm going to give this a try, and I don't believe it's going to work, but I'm willing to give it a chance. Surrender is different from compliance. Surrender is when I don't want to give this up, but it hurts, and I'm going to give it up anyway. And what I tell them is if they can experience that one or two times while they're in MAR, they can take that with them wherever they go and risk doing it again and again and again as part of their recovery process.
I remember probably about 2 months into halfway, as you have, you know, you're starting to look toward like, hey, I got 30 days here, and they start bringing up, you know, a few of the different like exit conversations or whatever. And I immediately was like, I'm out of here. I'm going to go get an apartment. I'm going to get two jobs. I'm going to go enroll back in school. Like, I got stuff to do. Like, that was my initial response to, what do you think we're going to be doing after 90 days here? And very quickly, you know, it was, well, all that stuff sounds like it would be good, but like, let's look at that a little bit closer. And what do you think about, you know, potentially looking at three quarters and that type of stuff? And I was like, nope, I'm getting my own apartment. I'm getting two jobs to support all of that. And then I'll go to school and I'm going to do this thing. And it was either Matt or Doug, one of them stopped me and said, are you willing to entertain other ideas about how to maybe successfully transition? And I stopped and I was like, yep, I really am. And it was almost like it wasn't me talking. All of me wanted to say, no, I got this. Thanks. Don't want to hear it. Right. But when I went to speak, I said, yeah, I'd be willing to listen to what you guys think. Yeah. That was the first big surrender moment.
You know, a lot of women come into our program saying, I'll do anything except a 12-step program. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I will go anywhere, but I don't want to do a 12-step program. But then they need a gender-separate program, and they end up at MAR because someone else has been convinced that MAR is a great place for them. So they'll come in, you know, sometimes in their orientation with Molly and say, I don't want to go to meetings. I've been to meetings before. They haven't worked for me. I don't believe in God. Mm-hmm. I don't believe in a higher power. And so we really work with them to identify, you know, a higher power just has to be anything outside of yourself. Sometimes the question I ask is, do you believe that you have all the answers to your own problems in your own head? 99.999% of the time they say no, mm-hmm. because they're in treatment. Mm-hmm. So obvious, it's pretty obvious they don't have the answer to all their problems. Do you think that there's something or someone who can help you? Mm-hmm. That can be the 12-step fellowship. That can be, you know, the love you feel in your community. It can be any of those things, but developing a connection to something greater than yourself is also part of healing self-esteem.
I was brought up with a certain disdain for organized religion. I mean, that was in my family, and I was taught that there's a hypocrisy and a bigotry and racism and all these things that are involved in organized religion. And I kind of somehow equated that with God, and I don't think my parents were giving me the message about God. They were talking about organized religion. So I had a bias, prejudice, not even bias. It was a prejudice. So when we started that group, I went to that group, and it was in a church, and I was on the, I was watching out. I was like, okay, they're gonna try to indoctrinate me or something. And so my introduction to that group, basically, I said to that group, my name's Ashley and I'm here and I don't want your religion. Keep it away from me. I was very direct. And they smiled at me and nodded their heads. And I thought, what are these people? These people are stupid. But I just was sure they had an agenda, a religious agenda. And after the group, my very first group, Carrie, who's an 80-plus-year-old World War II vet, was just a wonderful man. He has passed on now. Came up to me and he said, I have something that may be useful for you. And I thought at first, here it comes. Here comes his pitch. Mm-hmm. He's going to try. Here it comes. He's going to preach. And he said, this is a way of looking at organized religion. And I didn't know he was a member of the church in good standing. He said, here's a way to think about organized religion. It's imperfect man's attempt to relate to the perfect, and we don't always get it right. And that was a revelation to me. I didn't even realize it was. And what that did, I thought, oh my God. And what that did was allow me to come back next week with a little crack of, I can listen to something that you guys have to say. Just a little opening there. And it was such a wonderful thing that he did for me. And he kind of taught me patience and tolerance. These people were so patient with me that I came into their group and introduced myself and said, y'all stay back away from me. And he came up afterwards and said something loving and kind to me. And I began to be able to trust him just a little bit.
That was Doug Brush, Jake C., Kaylee Binkley, and Ashley M. If you're interested, you can hear the full episodes on our website or subscribe to the podcast by searching for Stories of Recovery in iTunes or whatever podcast app that you use.